Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8 as we start this message of one of the stories that Jesus told, or a parable, the parable of the sower. And it's found in Luke chapter 8 about really receiving the word that the song was just talking about. Let's stand as we read God's word. Luke chapter 8. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. Those women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what his parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others by speaking parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop. Lord, thank you for your word, this ancient word that is ever true and ever relevant to us. And Lord, we do want to open up our hearts today to receive the message that you have for us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The stories that Jesus told always had a meaning, a purpose behind them. Here is a story from the world of farming. Now, they did farming a little different than we do it today. You know, they didn't have the tractors, and they didn't have the fields with the straight rows. They would just have a field, and they'd go out and throw the seed out there, and it would land in all different kinds of soil. If it landed in good soil, it would produce a crop. Bad soil, it would not produce a crop. And that's the picture that Jesus used to help them understand their own hearts, their own condition of their own lives. And the disciples, when they heard this story, they said basically to Jesus, you know, we don't get it. And Jesus said, okay, let me explain it to you. So he explained it to them and to us what it means in this parable. So we don't have to guess. In this story, this parable, we see that the sower is Jesus Christ. The sower is Jesus Christ. Sometimes this thing jumps around and goes, here, let me just play with my clicker for a minute here. This is pretty fun, by the way, in case you're wondering. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. Maybe I could get another clicker from the back, because this one is not doing it. Anyway, you want to run me up another clicker back there? Because this one is on home arrest, or whatever we call it. Thank you, Isaac. This is the guy that's getting married on Saturday, so. Yeah. This is one way to get you up in front and embarrass you. Okay, the sower is Jesus Christ. It's very clear from this story that the farmer is Jesus. The same story is told for us in Matthew chapter 13, and where it says that the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. And the expectation is the seed would be sowed and produce a crop. That's the expectation. So Jesus sows the seeds of truth. Oh, that one's so much better, by the way. Whoa, it's amazing. Sows the seeds of truth. We live in a world that's been affected by a lie. Satan started this lie way back in the Genesis when he lied to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve believed the lie, and they sinned against God, and the whole world's been affected by this lie. We live in a world that desperately needs the truth, and Jesus came to bring us the truth. The seed that he spreads is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." When Pilate was interrogating Jesus, he asked him about why he came, and Jesus said, "I came for this reason, to testify to the truth." It's one of the reasons why the devil fights so hard against the seed, the Word of God, because he knows it's truth, and he can't fight against the truth. Jesus sows the seeds of truth. We also work with Jesus. Jesus sowed the seed through us. As followers of Jesus, we are also sowers of the seed. We are co-farmers with Jesus. That's good. Okay, you guys don't get it. We're co-farmers with Jesus. You know, we got to get used to being in the sanctuary. You're not watching a TV. Okay, you can talk back. You can say amen, all those things. That's better. We're co-farmers with Christ. He sows the seed through us. As you live your life as a follower of Jesus, you're sowing seeds. As you're a witness for him, you're sowing seeds. And the field in which you sow your seed is just where you live, where you work, where you go to school. That's your field. He is sowing his seed through us into our world that desperately needs to hear the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." We're scattering the seed. He's scattering the seed through us. The seed is the Word of God. We don't have to guess what that is. Jesus makes it very clearly. The seed is his Word, the Word of God. And the Word of God is living and powerful. Living and powerful. Now, I have in my pocket here a seed. You probably can't see it. It's a little tiny piece of corn. Little tiny seed. It's all shriveled up, dry. Do you know there's power in that seed? There's power in there. You go plant that in the ground, give it some moisture, some sunshine, it'll grow up into a big stalk of corn. If it only has one head of corn on it, it'll produce, they estimate, 300 seeds from one. There's power in that seed. And Jesus used this analogy to let us know there's power in the seed that he scatters, the seed of truth. There's power in the seed in the Word of God. Now, amazing potential for the seed, but what it needs is good soil to grow in. It needs good soil to grow in. If there's no fruit produced in our lives, it's not the fault of the seed. The seed is good. It's powerful and living. It's the fault of the soil. And the soil is the condition of our heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Powerful seed, if it has the right soil to grow in. This seed demands a response. It demands a response. We can't be neutral when it comes to this seed, the Word of God. We must respond to it. If the soil of our heart is right, then fruit will be produced and we will grow and our roots will go down. I can remember when I liked to garden at our house, and early in the spring I planted a bunch of beans too early, and the ground was really wet and it was cold, and I noticed after several weeks they hadn't come up. I thought they should be up. So I dug down in the soil. They were gone. They just rotted away. It was too wet and it was too cold. It was too early. Later, and then I planted the seed then, and they came up just in 7 days, like the package says. There was nothing wrong with the first seed, or it was the soil. The seed is good. The soil was bad. When we have the seed of the Word of God and we have a receptive heart and God's Word can grow in us and produce fruit, it's up to us to receive it with a receptive heart. Let's talk about the human heart. That's the soil in the story. That's us. And Jesus encountered so many different people, you know, in this story. There's a huge crowd of people. Jesus was never impressed with huge crowds, by the way. He wanted people who would be open to receive the word, the seed of the truth. And so in this group, he knew that there was all kinds of people out there. And he uses four different kinds of soils to demonstrate the four different kinds of hearts. that are out there, and they apply to us as well. The first one was the hard heart. In the farmland, oftentimes there would be paths along the side of the farmland, or sometimes farmers would just clear a little bit of rock out of the field and plant a little patch, and then there's a hard part next to the field. And so when the farmer scatters the seed, some of it's going to land on those hard parts of the ground. It's not going to take root there because it's hard. There's no way it can take root. And that's the illustration he uses to describe a hard heart. In a hard heart, the seed never takes root. Just kind of like bounces off. It just sits there, bounces off. And it makes sense that it would not grow in that situation. I remember a guy that I met many years ago named Kurt. Kurt was, I was invited to go to his home to share the gospel with him because he was dying. He had cancer. And the family wanted me to come because Kurt wasn't a believer. And so I went and shared the good news with Kurt. He sat there and listened to me, very respectful. I still remember him across the living room from me. And I asked him if he wanted to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. He looked right at me and he said, "No, I don't." I said, "Okay, I will pray for you." And I left. A few weeks later, one of his kids came and told me that their dad had accepted Christ as his Savior. They had shared with him again the gospel, and he accepted. Now, the difference was, the first time when I told Kurt, his heart was hard. He was no receptive. He wasn't ready. The second time, when the kids told him, his heart was ready. It was good soil then. There was never anything wrong with the seed in any situation. It was the heart. And so one of the things that we can do when we're praying for people who don't know Christ, pray that their hearts would be softened so they would receive the word when it's shared with them. Because if it's a hard heart, it won't take root. This seed, Jesus says, is taken away by the devil. When the seed is fully exposed on the ground, the birds come and take it away. You've experienced that at your house, I'm sure, if you leave seeds on the ground. Jesus said it's actually the devil that comes and takes it away out of our hearts. The devil knows how powerful the seed is, the truth, and so he'll do anything to take it away. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." The devil has many ways to snatch away that seed out of a hard heart. He uses false teaching, which is a contradictory of God's word. He uses the fear of what others people will think, and he snatches the seed away. He uses pride. He convinces people you don't need God, and he snatches the seed away. He uses doubt. He uses procrastination. He uses the love of the world. He uses the love of sin. Many ways, and the devil comes and snatches the seed away, and it never really takes root. There's also, Jesus said, the shallow heart. This is where the soil is just not very deep. You know, it's just a little thin bit of soil, and it's hard underneath, so that place is not going to work there either. The seed's not going to grow and mature and produce fruit. But in this situation, it does take root shortly and quickly. There's a little bit of growth that happens. There's in the life of a person, maybe there's some receptivity initially to the gospel, maybe an initial acceptance of it, but no real depth. Their roots don't go down into the soil. And the word of God really doesn't become part of them. And so what happens is troubles reveal a shallow heart. When trouble comes, it's revealed that there's a shallow heart. In the life of a person, maybe it's because they always thought, maybe if I become a Christian, all my problems go away. Right? You ever heard that one? And then problems come and you realize you're pretty shallow. The roots don't go down deep. Underneath the shallow soil is really hard soil, hard to penetrate. Trouble also leads to falling away. Jesus says, this person believes for a while, and then they fall away. So for whatever reason, the gospel in the lives of these people is quickly abandoned. The roots don't go down. They really didn't incorporate into their lives. They didn't be mature in Christ, and so they're led away. It's kind of like the story that Jesus told at the end of the Sermon on the Mount about the man who builds his house on the rock and the man who builds his house on the sand. The man who builds his house on the sand, by not accepting the word, when a storm comes, the house is crashes down. That's the story here. Person who has shallow roots, when troubles come, they fall away. Helmut Thielicke, who was a German pastor during World War II, writing a lot of books, a great man, he said these words. He says, there's nothing more cheering than transformed Christian people, but there's nothing more disintegrating than people who have merely brushed by Christianity, people who have been sown 1,000 seeds, but in whose life there is no depth and no roots. Therefore, they fall away when the first whirlwind comes. Shallow faith. We need to be careful of this one, church, because a shallow faith can happen in us, a shallow heart, because it's popular. Shallow faith is popular. Well, you want all God's blessings, but you don't want to obey what he tells you to do in his word. You love everything he's done for you, but you don't count the cost of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. A shallow faith. Shallow faith is very self-centered faith, where we just want what God has for us, and we don't really actively serve him and do what he asks us to do. The third kind of heart is a crowded heart. This is where thorns come up or weeds come up and choke out the good plant that's supposed to produce fruit. And, if you've gardened like I garden, I grow great weeds at my house, by the way. I got some good weeds. Weeds happen. And weeds happen in our lives, Jesus says, that can crowd out what God wants to do in our lives. He mentions three things here, Jesus does. He mentions worry, wealth, and pleasure. And I think it's interesting that though he said those 2,000 years ago, and those are still the things that will choke out the life in us today. They're still relevant today. The seed is choked out by worry sometimes. Jesus said this. Because worry is really a lack of faith, isn't it? A lack of faith. Worries can come up and choke out what God wants to do in our lives. Says in the scripture in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do not be anxious about anything. Worries can come up and choke out what God wants to do in our lives. Also, the seed can be choked out by wealth. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with money and possessions. Those are good things that God has given us. It's our attitude toward them, our focus on them, that can get us in trouble. Because Jesus tells us here, riches or wealth can choke out what he wants to do in our lives. Paul wrote to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Some of them, by longing for it, have wandered away from their faith. The weeds caused by wealth came and choked out what God wanted to do in their lives. So we need to be careful about that one too, church, because we live in a wealthy society. You might not think you're wealthy, but compared to the world, you are wealthy. And wealth can come up and get us to start trusting in our wealth, our possessions, and not trusting in God. Be careful about that one. Also, Jesus said these words, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That tells us a little bit about the danger of wealth, right? Because we can get self-sufficient relying upon our own resources. Also, he said the seed can be choked out by pleasure. Again, there's many God-given good pleasures in this life that there's nothing wrong with enjoying. There's also bad pleasures that are sinful that we should not do. But we live in a life world where there's so many opportunities for pleasure. We really live in a pleasure-driven society. One preacher said, revival will come to the church when we get over our need for pleasure. See, again, there's nothing wrong with pleasure if it's godly pleasure, but we can't have that be our focus of our life. Can't be the whole goal of our life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added onto you. It's about priorities. What are we focusing in life? Pleasures can come up and choke out what God wants to do in our lives. So I told you I grow pretty good weeds at my house, and I have to pull them out regularly. And I think some of us in our own hearts need to pull out the weeds that are growing there to choke out what God wants to do in our lives. Maybe pleasure has become too important to you. Maybe your wealth has become too important to you. Maybe your worrying has been too much. And you need to, with the help of God, pull those weeds out. so that they don't choke out what God wants to do in your life. We do that through a thing called repentance, where we change. We stop trusting in our wealth. We stop making pleasure the main focus of our life. We stop worrying all the time, and we trust God, and we pull the weeds out so God can grow what he wants to grow in our lives and produce fruit. The last kind of soil is the receptive heart. Those first three that we just mentioned, the hard, the shallow, and the crowded, none of them produce fruit. This is the only one that produces fruit, the receptive heart. I've learned as I've done the gardening that soil is very important. Early when I started gardening, I had some real failures, and there was nothing wrong with the seed. It was my soil. I had to learn how to amend the soil and get the soil to be that it was a rich soil that would grow things. And now, I'll probably go home after saying this and everything will be dead, but it's growing pretty good when I left. You know, I'm glad. But we need to take care of the soil. And the soil in the story is our heart. We need to have a receptive heart. In a receptive heart, the word is heard, understood, and accepted. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the biblical understanding, to listen means more than just to hear the words. It means to understand it as best as we can and to accept it. We accept it into our lives. It changes us. And we do this through obedience to what God says. Paul, when he's writing to the church in Thessalonians, said, we thank God continually because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it, not as the word of men, but actually as it is the word of God. There we get an example we're talking about. Not just listening, but you receive the word, you accept it, it becomes part of you so it can grow and produce fruit. That's the kind of heart we should strive to have. As you come to church each Sunday to listen to the word of God, or as you read your own private devotions at home, you need to let your heart be receptive to what God wants to do in your life. To really listen. You know, it's easy to have shallow heart where it doesn't really take root, or at least it doesn't last. It's not that, and some people have hard hearts where they don't hear it at all. Some people have crowded hearts. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm going to confess here, my heart kind of changes from soil to soil sometimes. You know, sometimes when I read God's word, I'm really receptive and I'm open and I'm listening. I got it, I understand. Sometimes I walk away and go, man, I don't remember anything I just read. And there's nothing wrong with this, the seed. It was my heart. My heart wasn't right. My heart wasn't receptive and open and ready to really listen to God. So we need to, this is going to sound strange, but before you come to church on Sunday, rototill your heart, okay? Plow up your heart, the soil of your heart. You know, be ready to receive God's word. When you do it at home, you do it here. We need to prepare our hearts. To mature in Christ is not an automatic thing. It takes some effort. You got to take time with God, read his word, pray, worship, really listen. And if there's anything you need to repent of, we repent and seek God. If we do it right, the word here will produce an abundant harvest. The seed, the word of God, when it finds a receptive heart, good soil, it will grow, it will take root and mature. And then when the troubles come, we won't fall away. And fruit will be produced in our lives to the glory of God. In Matthew's gospel, where we see the same story, Jesus said, you'll get 100 times or 60 times or 30 times the harvest, a great harvest. Jesus said in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. We need to let the seed of God's word take root in our lives and grow down deep and mature, and fruit would be produced to the glory of God. As you leave the service today, back where the offering boxes are, there are some baskets that have seed in them, little corn seed like mine, okay? I'm going to ask you as you leave today to take one of those seeds of corn, okay? And I want you to take it home, put it someplace where you might see it. Maybe on your desk, maybe in your car, I don't know. Maybe tape it to your glasses. Somewhere that you'll see it often. And let it just be a reminder that there's power in the seed of God's word. And if we will prepare our hearts to receive the word, there's much that God can do. May it be a reminder to you to remember to be open and receptive to God's word. So my closing question is today, how's your heart? How's your heart? We're going to have the worship team come up and lead us in a song. And if you need to come pray this morning about anything, there's a lot of things, obviously, to pray about. You can come and kneel at this altar and pray. It's a great place to pray. And we'll have a time of prayer together as we close our service. Let's stand together and worship our Lord.